Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week I thought I'd talk a little bit about New Year's and the least special day of the year that can also be the most special, the 29th of December. There's a bit of a joke this time of year that it's sort of like time ceases to have meaning in between Christmas and New Year's, you know, like this, particularly I think when like this year when it's been on a Saturday and Sunday and then you've got like the extra public holidays and most people aren't at work and it's just kind of like in this time limbo. And especially here because like we've been in self-isolation waiting for tests for 5 days, so really have no concept of like what day it is, but I always remember the 29th, and the reason why I remember that day is because that is the day that I quit smoking in 2013, and I remember it because at that stage, you're so close to New Year's. And I remember having a conversation and they were saying, oh, you know, like, why not just wait until New Year's, you know, which is like a perfectly valid way to go, which is like, oh, you know, like enjoy the New Year's Eve party and, you know, and then do the hard stuff after that. And it's not to say that there's not benefit in like picking those sorts of, you know, like markers that are easy, you know, whether it be the 1st of January, whether it be Monday, you know, whatever it is. But at the time, I was like, no matter what day I do this, it's going to be hard. And at some point, whether that's the 1st of January or now, you're going to have to go through that hard thing. And it, you know, that you're going to have to go through a million New Year's Eves after this without smoking. And that just felt strongly like if it was good, if it was a good idea for the 1st of January, it was a good idea for the 29th of December. So that's why I remember that day. That was because too, like I'd gone through that many sort of like quit and relapse cycles. I was just so sick of it, you know. And I think to a certain extent with any change, you have to be like, so exhausted by it. And I was very exhausted by it. But you sort of can't skip over that process. Like all of those quit and relapse periods were necessary to cultivate the kind of level of like exhaustion and frustration with that cycle that was enough to like push through those sorts of hard bits. So with, and I think that this is, it's probably been the case with the last few years where it's not really been like a resolution city at all, but I think that we are sort of like starting to get to the point where it might not be a return to normal, but there's more and more things that are returning in a way that sort of looks kind of like normal. So everything around it isn't normal, but we can kind of see that next year you're going to be having a return to events, and it is going to be, you know, like once people are vaccinated and have had their booster and everything, then it's just a matter of people then are going to like manage their risk with what they're comfortable with, and that's going to vary from person to person. And so for a lot of people that is going to mean sort of like a kind of like return to types of events that would have done in the past, and probably an increased ability to plan, you know, like it's, I think you know, I do think that there will be an increased ability to plan despite the last 5 days where all of my Christmas stuff was cancelled. So I was in self-isolation. And I was lucky in that I wasn't travelling anywhere, so I didn't sort of miss out on any flights or any accommodation. And for the most part, all of my family are local. So yeah, like I missed out on all of that actual Christmas Day stuff, but we can reschedule and do that another time. And it's not the end of the world. And I know that's not the case for everyone who are really displaced by the system getting so overwhelmed with the testing, with it being so far behind. But I think that as things move forward and more people get their sort of like booster shots and you're going to need less testing, it will, you know, I think that there's a fair amount of optimism that I can find in that. But then I am always the ultimate optimist with that sort of stuff anyway. So we'll see. But I think probably this is the first year since sort of all this pandemic stuff started that I've seen that there's a real need for people to be wanting to return to those sorts of, you know, like those sorts of positive habits that you might have a resolution about, or, you know, like starting to get back to some of those things that you had in the before times. And I'm the same too, you know, like I look at sort of like time hop stuff from 2 years ago and I'm just like look at it, like, wow, that is like a completely different person. I uploaded this, we're doing monthly challenges in Run Club this year. And so I took a poll on like what people were most interested in, and that's what we're starting with. And it's all focused around, none of it is explicitly running focused. It's around self-care and around things that support the running. So it's sort of like all the things that kind of fall by the wayside. So we're doing mobility to start off with, and then we go into some strength training that's specific to running, and we'll do some yoga, and we'll do some like one of the months I think is like doing the 800 gram challenge, which is eating 800 grams of fruit and vegetables per day, which is a lot harder than it sounds. I mean, it sounds kind of hard, but still it's a lot of fruit and veggies. But you know, with the focus just being on daily things, because I actually find doing something every day is so much easier mentally than doing something like 3, 4, 5 days a week. Because when it's 3, 4, 5 days a week, you can argue yourself, oh, I could just do that tomorrow, or and then I'll do it 2 days in a row and I'll catch up. And surprise, surprise, you never catch up. So it's daily, but it's sort of also with a view that, you know, like you'll probably do like 4 to 5 out of 7 days, and that's great. You know, so it's that sort of like focusing on that and starting to look at, you know, like events and things like that. And so I think that it is like a good time to sort of like look at, okay, like I think that there might be enough like mental health bandwidth here to get beyond survival and actually sort of start putting some things in place. Which is definitely part of why I like the 29th of December, or, you know, a random day as a starting point, because it just reminds you that consistency is the thing, not perfection. And it's really easy to sort of like start with this grand plan on the 1st of January and then have things go pear-shaped by the 6th and have it be in the bin by the time you get to the end of the month. So which is also why I like sort of like having these little mini sort of like 30 day things where you're just focusing on one thing and you're not kind of like, because like if I planned out like what my ideal situation would be and went from nothing to that, it's probably too much. They've got a lot of research on what happens when you add too many habits at once and your adherence drops off wildly. And there's a bit of playing around with it too, because it's like sometimes those things feed off one another. So like I find, for example, like if eating for health and performance, then I'm much more likely to get my runs in and vice versa. Like they're very connected. Whereas like if I'm not eating well, then I feel a lot less like running. And then because I'm doing less running, I continue to eat like crap. And so they can feed off one another either way. And I think that that's a lot of times that what you forget is like momentum works both ways. So you can have like build on like positive momentum, and that can be amazing, but it can also 100% go the exact opposite way. So there are some things that are good to set up together. But there are other things where it's like, I'm just going to work on this one thing. And once that's really kind of like locked in, then I'm going to start to add in another thing. Anyway, to get into sort of some of the like the more practical sort of like, this is exactly a structure that you can use for goal setting, whether they be New Year's resolutions or 29th of December changes or anything that you're working on. I think that the number one thing I do is write it down, and I mean write it down like with your hand using a pen, not on a computer, because I think that it's just a lot more ingrained that way, and I think that you're probably a lot more likely to do it. So and a lot, probably like the biggest thing after the last 2 years is actually to develop some self-efficacy. So I know that that's the case for me, and I'm going to assume that is probably the case for a lot of people, where probably the weirdest thing about the last couple of years, and probably the most frustrating, is like you'll have this thing of like, oh, I'm going to do this and I feel really good when I do it and I'm going to like keep doing it. And then you'll do like 3 days of it and then it'll fall apart. Just, you know, and you have those sorts of cycles. And so you lose some of that thing that you had in the past where you would do something or say you were going to do something and then have the capacity to do it and then do it. And the rebuilding of that is going to take a little bit of time. So what that means for goals is that you want to pick things that are like a really low barrier to entry, you know? So like it can be really tempting to like maybe say, for example, you know that strength training is not something that you regularly do, and you know it would be beneficial for you if you did, and you know it would help your running, and you know it would help you to be stronger, and you know that it would help you to avoid injuries, all that stuff. But you know, like it's just been hard to commit to, and it doesn't sort of have like the same more immediate payoff that running does, and so it's easy to just like put it to one side and skip it. So if that's the case, probably jumping into like, I'm gonna do strength training 45 minutes a session 3 times a week is probably gonna be a pretty big ask. And it's probably going to be the first thing to go when you get overwhelmed. And then you're going to be right back at the beginning going up, like, see, here's another thing that I said I was going to do that I didn't do. So the thing with that is to just start with really things that are really easy to commit to. So, you know, like say, for example, if somebody was saying to me, what would be like the 3 things that you would get runners to do if there were only like 3 things that they were doing for their running. And I probably would get people to do calf raises, single leg hamstring lifts, like on a bench or a box, and also, you know, single leg hip bridges, like things like that. You know, like those are going to be the things that are going to like probably tackle 3 of your biggest problem areas. And if you're only doing 3 things, then that's probably what I would do. But what you can do is, instead of going, oh, I want to do 3 strength sessions a week, you can go, okay, like one day I'm just going to do a couple of sets of calf raises, another day I'm going to do, you know, like a couple of set of hip bridges, another day I'm going to do my hamstring raises. And then it's like you're maybe committing, you know, like 5 to 10 minutes. And once you sort of like reducing that, like you look at 45 minutes and it you just like get overwhelmed even thinking about 45 minutes. The thing that I love about 5 to 10 minutes in starting out any habit is it's really hard to say no to. It's like it doesn't really matter like how busy you are, it's kind of like hard to convince yourself that you don't have time for 5 to 10 minutes. The challenge with it is more like your brain will go, well, it's only 5 to 10 minutes, it doesn't matter if I skip it. So you kind of got to be wary of that, but it's a low barrier to entry and you can start to develop some commitment to yourself and your ability to follow through with that. And I guess the second part of it is to develop some progression with that. So with things like that, it might be you over time like building up the repetitions, building up the weight that you're using for it, then progressing it to like, I'm going to do this as well as this, like one other strength-based thing on that day, and just like slowly adding to it. Because the risk of like doing something and never progressing it is that it starts to become meaningless, and then your like brain sort of like downgrades it to a chore, and then once it's a chore you do anything to get out of it. So having a plan for your progression, just like you would with like a running training plan, like you're not just going to go out and go, I'm going to run 50 kilometers a week every week. There's going to be easy runs, there's going to be recovery runs, there's going to be hill runs, there's going to be threshold runs, there's going to be tempo runs, it's going to be intervals, all that sort of stuff. So you wouldn't sort of then look at any other thing and just have it like always be the same. Like that variety and that change in individual purpose from session to session is part of what keeps you engaged in that process. So make sure that there's some progression planned through that, and also like some way of recording your progress. Because when you're doing things like every day, or you know, like even a few times a week, it's really easy to feel like you're not making any progress, because you're kind of like comparing you to like what you did a couple of days ago, and it's really easy to forget what it was like a few months ago. And you know, so, and it's not just sort of like the sort of necessarily what you're doing with like sets and reps and weights and whatever else, if it's strength training related, but it's also like all the things around it, you know. So like, how often would you sort of like have a good patch with strength training and go, gee, you know, like the running is going really well and I haven't had that niggly hamstring thing for a while. And then you kind of, because things are going so well, you drop the strength training, and then like a month later you're like, oh gee, that hamstring's back again. And that happens really easily. And you know, and same thing happens to me with, you know, with like food. Like if I'm really getting in all of the stuff that I need, like all the protein, all the carbs, all the sort of micros and everything, and I will feel amazing, and then because I'm feeling so good, I will not pay as much attention to it, and then all of a sudden like I'm not feeling so great. So it's important to keep track of, to really note when things are going well, and to sort of like have a picture for what all of the other things look like when things are going really well. Because that's sort of like it, because it's really easy to just sort of like have things, oh, things are going really well, this is awesome, and not kind of recognize all of the hard work and all of the habits and all of the things that have gone into things are going really well. Exact same thing happens with like quitting smoking. It's like you go through the hard bits and, you know, like all of that, that all the stuff that that entails, and then you'll hit like a purple patch with it and you're like, maybe I'm not an addict anymore. Maybe I can have the odd cigarette. It's like, no, you are 100% an addict, and that is why you're having this conversation with yourself. The mind can be a dangerous place when things are going really well, because that is exactly the time when it likes to sort of like check out of all of the things that it doesn't exactly feel like doing. And the final step with it is just to have a plan to sort of like evaluate how it's going. And and whether it's sort of whatever changes that you've made, whether they're serving you or not serving you, or like you might think, oh, this thing I did like has been really great, but I don't really think I get that much out of this other thing, you know, and just being realistic about that, and not just based on like oftentimes the things that we least enjoy are the things that are actually provide the most benefit. So it's not necessarily about going, oh, you know, like I don't like doing this, so I won't do it anymore. But it is just taking stock of things and looking at it from an analytical point of view and being like, okay, this was my goal. This is what I did. This is what the results were. And if the results aren't what you were hoping, then kind of looking at like, was I actually consistent with it? Like, did I actually like follow through? Did I give it enough time? And if you did on those things, then maybe it's like, okay, like then maybe to achieve this outcome, we need to like adopt a different strategy here and be willing to change. And rather than like, you want to give something enough time and enough consistency that it can flourish, but also don't be so afraid to change it that you aren't willing to change it. But with most things, I think you probably really need to give things like a good 6 months to see what their results are. So it because the risk is you might, if you are chopping and changing every month and trying something different, you're not giving any of those strategies a chance to work. And probably the final thing to add is to really know why you're doing it. Because sometimes that nasty little word should gets in the way of a lot of good things. And that's like ultimately when you hit like a point of resistance between like what you said that you wanted to do and when it actually comes time to actually do it, and you are going to hit that point of resistance, you need to know why you're doing it. And so that might be, I mean, that could be any, there could be a million reasons, and hopefully there are a million reasons because you're probably going to need all of them. But a lot of times if it's sort of like training related, I'll get to that point of resistance. And for me, I'll be like, you do not want to, like, usually it's sort of like a race or some particular time goal I have in mind. And I don't want to get to that point feeling like there were 5 to 10 times where I could have done something which I didn't do, and then I will never know what that outcome would have been if I did do it. So when I get to that sort of like point of resistance, is I'm like, you don't want this to be a question mark on that start line or like on that day. This doesn't need to be a question mark. This needs to be you like turning over all the rocks. And it was similar with when I was quitting smoking, I had little like signs up everywhere as to what my reasons were, you know, ranged from, you know, like being healthy for the kids to saving money to it not being awkward in social situations where you're always having to leave, to, you know, like, or even to like wanting to be the type of person who was a non-smoker, like all of those sorts of things. Like it can, ultimately changes come down to identity and who you believe you are. And I think that that's probably one of the most important things when you're like setting the goal, is you kind of have to become the person who does that. And so, you know, like if you want consistency, you have to be the person who runs in the rain. Or runs on the treadmill, if you have access to a treadmill. One of those two things you'd have to be. Or, you know, like the person who runs in like stupid humidity, like it has been, had been here last week. Just ridiculous. It's like, oftentimes it comes down to the dew point, not the humidity, but both were awful. And it's just like running in soup. And you have to believe that you are that person to do that thing. So for almost any goal to work, particularly the harder ones, like it like you probably don't have to like change who I am to do something like I probably do. Like I was going to pick something easy, like the person who does, you know, like has like a nighttime routine for better sleep or whatever. But the reality is that I definitely have to sort of like change significantly for that to happen. But it's not so much, you know, changing a personality. It's more like I look at it as changing what I believe I'm capable of and what I believe I deserve. And that's an important distinction. It's not getting rid of anything core, but it is changing a core belief. So sometimes that's also part of like why you pick small things to start with, because you have to prove to yourself that those things are true, and you need to start small in order to do that. And then you can, you know, then those are building blocks, because you've sort of like proved it to yourself before, like we did this and we can do it again in, you know, in more meaningful ways. Anyway, whether you are a New Year's resolution person or anything that is good for the 1st of January is good for right now person, hope that you got something out of listening to this. We'll be back next year. In the meantime, if you wanted to join in with all of the challenges that we're doing in Run Club and the 40 odd training plans that are in there, like going from learn to run programs to running programs to strength programs for runners, you can check out Run Club. You can join that at any time. And my resolutions are pretty much the same that they are every year. I haven't quite ever had a year where I've nailed it. So I'm aware that these are not sort of like small goals, but I think that I've finally made enough like life adjustments that they could be achievable. So basically for me, it's just like, consistency with podcasting and writing. So my New Year goal is going to be to do both the newsletter and the podcast every week, and prioritize that time early in the week so that it happens, rather than going, I will do that after I've done all of this work, and then like work eats up all the time and then miraculously it doesn't happen. I'm very much of a like, things that require a lot of creative energy have to happen in the morning and they have to happen early in the week. So it's not something that I have been successful with up to this point. But I'm not going to let that dissuade me. And I'm definitely going to be giving it a go. But also, important thing with anything like this, which is sort of like it's a bit of a black and white goal. Like either you do something the week or you don't. But I really want to make sure that like the first week that I don't do it, then everything doesn't fall in a heap. So I think that for me, the easiest way to then do all of that is going to be to schedule the time in, make it early in the week before things get crazy, particularly when uni starts up in March. But I think that that's quite nice at the beginning of the year, because you've got like those like sort of few months to get some good like habits rocking before you add in some extra demands in there. And also you have the option of sort of like where I've got less on for those months, so I can also sort of like do more during that period to sort of like cover me when it gets a bit more intense. Though those are mine. A lot of the training ones, they kind of take care of itself because I have my coach writing my plan and I do it. And probably the main thing that I've got to worry about is the strength training side of things. So that is something that I'm working on along with sort of, so I'm excited for the run club for the first month. It's going to be mobility, which will get me back in, and I'm doing videos for that because it's different to stretching and there's not a lot of great content that is, I mean, there's great like if you, there is some great subscription content for mobility for sure. I'm excited to do some videos for that, for Run Club. So that's what I'm doing. And probably at the moment I would say there is about 3 one-on-one coaching slots available for anyone who's interested. So that's all on the website at opmove.com, and you can just message me or email me if you have any questions about that too, and I will catch you in 2022.